the Cooper and Anthony Show.
So do you still play every day since we're looking at all your guitars and basses and all that?
Yes. I'm not a religious person, so I would say that I'm a very dedicated, as if I were like an Orthodox religious person, I'm dedicated to music in that way.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's a thing that sort of makes me feel the happiest and like life has meaning other than my family. I would say, I mean, there's nothing like, your spouse or your kids or something, but other than that, music seems to be the thing that really, it just drives me. Because I have a studio in my home, I have access to it all the time. So I'm always playing. I spent all day today. My son Kai actually sings on the new album. He's 22 years old now.
What?
Yeah, I know.
What? Wait, hang on a minute. You mean little tiny Kai is, yes, that's not possible.
He's now 22 years old.
Wow.
He's finished up 4 years of college. He was, he sang a cappella for 4 years he was the MD of an a cappella group for 4 years, the musical director.
Wow.
And he now is a really good songwriter and singer. And so we spent most of the day recording one of his new songs, and on, other days I'll be recording stuff for myself or just working on playing the bass or playing piano or playing keyboard, guitar, cause I play multiple instruments. So trying to keep up on all of them, there's a lot that needs to be done, and it makes me feel great. So, I do it every day. Yeah. In answer to your question, Anthony. Yeah.
Yeah. I just wonder if it's worse now that you have a studio in your house. How many people do have the studio in your house? Is that hurting music more than going to a studio and having that experience?
I think it's both. I know, like with TMBG, we all have home studios. There's five of us. There's the two main initial members, John and John. And then there are three. It's Dan Miller, myself, and Marty Bello, who's the drummer. We all have home studios. We all record music for television, and some do film scores, some do production, other things. But when we record with They Might Be Giants, we may demo the music at home, but we always go into a studio together.
Right.
Because there, there's, you can't capture that same interaction, when you're doing it remotely. And we know that because of COVID, we put out a couple of records during COVID. And so I recorded probably 12 or so songs from home, but basically they'd send me the song almost finished. I do a bass part, send it back, and then that's it. And then I'd hear it later on. Oh, it's done now, but I wasn't in the room with the drummer. We couldn't go back and forth like we do when we're there together.
Right.
I didn't have direct feedback from the Johns. And so it's a very, very different thing. I mean, we all trust each other. So we trust that the parts are going to be good, but not in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But so, so it's still great to have studios that you can all be together in that are not in somebody's little basement or something. The thing about the basement, as I'm probably, you may have experienced with broadcasting, you may have been able to broadcast from home too.
Mm-hmm.
I know some radio stations, they're actually, the DJs are not going in yet.
Right.
They're doing
we're both at our respective homes right now.
Oh, okay. So there you go.
Yeah.
So there's that. And I mean, back in the day when you had to go to a studio, it was costly, it was the average person you would save up money to get 2 days and make the most of those 2 days and get everybody, rehearse the songs, blah, 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 and really make the most of the time. And now you can at your leisure, like try things out. And, it's a tremendous advantage from years ago, but it does make things cold and distant.
Right.
Right. Of course.
So
how is it? So if that's the case, how did you, cause one of the videos for Words, you were saying that has like a really nice story attached to it. You got 25 animators from 6 different countries. So how did you make that happen then?
Okay. So I had written the album Words. The title track is called Words, and it's, just about basically using words in a positive way. There's so much that's going on in the world and the media. There's so much, so many things that I wish my kids would not have to hear and, that they can't come here. So I just wanted to put out a message basically saying that words can be comforting, words can be inspiring, et cetera, et cetera. I made the video, and then, you know, again, like, it's COVID and things are crazy. So I thought, well, I can't really afford to pay top dollar to get a video made. Let me just contact some people that I know and see if they have, if there are students that are not really working so much because of COVID, whatever, that want to work on a project, that might want to do it for a reduced rate, whatever the case is. And I reached out to a friend of mine who had done some videos for me in the past and had done work for Sesame Street. When I wrote for Sesame Street, he did the videos for that as well. So this guy, Eric Kriedler from EG is the name of the company. Mm-hmm. I reached out to him. He said, well, let me see what I can do. And he lives in Minneapolis, and he had another friend in Minneapolis. He said, okay, you know, this guy, what is his name? Mike Owens. He knows some other people. Give me a couple of days. So I wait a couple of days. He's like, Mike's got like 15 or 16 people already, and he's still asking around.
Oh, my God.
And I said, oh, wow, this is great. Yeah, yeah. And so what that turned into was 25 animators.
Oh, my Lord. You would just say,
some of them in Holland, some in Barbados, some in India, some in the United States, all over the world. And so then now there's 25 people. So I can't pay 25 people their going rates, right?
Right.
But all right. It's great that these people are interested. What can we do?
I love it. He's like, I can't pay one person. He's like, great, here's 25.
Yeah. So okay, I was like, oh, this is phenomenal. But now what are we going to do? So his idea was like, all right, I'll make a script that coincides with the lyrics, and we'll make shot numbers, and we'll ask if each group can do one or two shots, depending on how much time they have available and what they're up for. And then we'll make a donation to a charity in their name.
That's brilliant.
And all but a couple actually, I guess, just needed the money. So I sent them some money, but most of them did it for charity. So I wound up donating to about 23 different charities. And I don't know if I got to talk to you about it or not, but we did it through Discord. Have you used Discord before?
Right.
No, not yet.
Mm-mm. Discord, it's like one of these new apps like Zoom. It's a way for you to very easily set up meetings and set up sub meetings and subgroups where you can interact with people on your own timeline or interact, synchronously.
I see.
So they're like, all right, we're all going to get everybody's name in Discord. We're going to set up meetings, and they would set up these meetings, and it'd be 3 in the afternoon here. It would be 9 in the evening in Holland and whatever time it was in India. And these people were like so generous, like, oh, you know, I usually work in plasticine. What do? You do colored paper. What if I set up the shot with the plasticine and then you finished it with the colored paper? And they were just so excited about working together and collaborating. And like the spirit of it was incredibly heartwarming. And it's not because it had anything to do with me. I think it was just because people wanted to be artistic and work together. And COVID had really limited that. So these people came together and they made this really charming, colorful, vibrant video. And the money went to charity. So I
felt
it was just a win-win in every way. Yeah, it was really fantastic.
That is really amazing. That's really beautiful.
Yeah. So we did the words video. And then I have two other videos from the album that are for Hyperbole and Nouns. And then I'll have another one. Or Nouns is coming, Etymology is done. So there's trying to, like, because getting back to me being a PT in the classrooms, walking into all these classrooms each day, and mostly like kindergartenish grade kids, first, second graders, young children in elementary school, all wearing their masks, socially distanced, et cetera. Often the teachers would use videos as learning tools, mm-hmm. or maybe as a reward. Yeah, after a lesson, they would play a video that, you know, encouraged them to exercise or whatever it is, and they would love to do that. So I thought, like, all right, you know, maybe I can. That's where the idea of words came up. Like, let me do something word themed. It relates to kids. For me, it's more exciting than like Johnny's Got a Blue Cup.
Right, right.
And there's a level of children's music that's like preschool. That's fantastic for preschoolers, but I don't do that. You know, when I worked with They Might Be Giants, we didn't do that. And it's not what I enjoy. I like writing music that I would like and then having the lyrics be more child specific. And so these topics, like, I, you know, it's challenging to write a song about hyperbole or alliteration or whatever. So
right.
It made it fun for me.
And those are the ages that kids are first learning what those words mean. And then right. You drive it home with the song and the video. I watched the videos. Yeah. They're terrific.
Yeah. The videos are, you know, my hope is that the teachers can use the videos just to get the kids inspired mm-hmm. and then teach a lesson. Right. I don't expect to teach a kid the full topic in a 3-minute song. I try to cover it in there if I can, but I want it to just be, an easy way to introduce it. Okay,
you're the Schoolhouse Rock of 2021.
Exactly. That's what I hope to do. Yeah.
So, no, that is what it feels like.
And I'm going to learn about hyperbole. So I'm going to watch that
video. Yeah, because Anthony doesn't know very much. Wait, last question. I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask you this one question, because a lot of what we do on the show is, you know, very celebrity oriented. I noticed when I've come to see you play with They Might Be Giants, which is quite a few times, frankly, I've noticed that in the audience, it's a wide variety of ages. It's like young families, people bring their kids, you know, that kind of thing. And I have noticed a couple of celebrities in the audience. Okay. Who have you met over time, and what celebrities have come backstage and been like, oh, my God, I love this.
There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them, but they may not be the same celebrities that most people think of as celebrities these days. But people for me, like Elvis Costello, you know, I got to meet Elvis Costello through They Might Be Giants, who for me is one of my heroes. You know, as a songwriter and musically, he's always been one of my heroes. So that was, you know, really exciting.
Did you get a chance? Did you say that to him, or is that weird?
I think I just told him that I've always admired his music, you know, and it's a pleasure to meet you, that kind of thing. I try to not get too...
You don't want to gush. Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, is Amy Mann a celebrity? You know,
I think
yeah.
so.
Yeah, I've been on cruises with her and we've hung out. She's been backstage with us. We've been backstage with her. Michael Penn, who's her husband. You know, Charles from the Pixies, the singer of the Pixies, who's another one of my heroes over the years. He lives in Northampton, Mass. When we go there, he shows up. And there's been, you know, there've been like the young daughter on The Sopranos came to the show one night and kind of recognized her and things like that. So yeah, it's not, you know, I don't think of TMBG as really like, you know, it's not like we're Maroon 5 or something. And it's going to be like a place.
Thank
to
God meet. You're not.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like that would be like, you know, you just want to show up so other people can know that you were there. I don't know. The They Might Be Giants is not quite like that, but it's, you know, it's been great for so many years for me. So.
Yeah. No, you're really, really talented. And I just love the fact that you have had this amazing, successful career that just seems to keep growing and growing. And you're going on tour. So just tell me quickly, like, you're going to be on tour with your Red Pants people, right?
Playing with the Red Pants band. Yeah. And the TMBG, unfortunately, as I said, we got canceled on the tour. It was postponed till 2021. And then an entire year, which started in March, was now moved to 2022. So we're starting in March of 2022. We had even scheduled shows for January and February of 2022, and those were moved to 23.
Wow. Oh,
really?
Yeah. Where, you know, I don't know all of the specifics of it, but I guess that, you know, with all the variants and everything, we don't want have any responsibility for anybody else getting sick or any of the band members getting sick. So it's unfortunate, but that's so that, you know, I can't wait. In the meantime, we're shooting some videos in October. We're doing some recording in October. And that will be the first time in several months that we've actually all been in the same room together. We did that a few months ago and we hired a private doctor and he tested everybody and we still social distanced. And so maybe this time it'll be a little more relaxed. And then I'm playing with my children's group, the Red Pants Band. I'm playing in December at the Elmont Library on Long Island. And in February, I'm playing a couple of shows in Belmore.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're doing some stuff with that. Just, I want to fill out the calendar. And I play in other bands, you know, I play like in cover bands and stuff in the meantime, just to be playing out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I do that a lot.
Because you love playing.
I love playing. And there was a point where They Might Be Giants sort of, our schedule was like a full year of tour, a full year of not touring. you know, it used to be all the time. And right. then in the last few years, it sort of went to every other year. And I thought, like, well, in the other years, I still want to be playing. And I want to be playing not in my basement. I want to be playing in front of people with other musicians. Mm. So I started picking up other work. And so I've been doing that a lot. So that's, you know, it's keeps me busy and just makes me more excited for when we get back on tour with the Giants.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. Well, Danny, thank you so much for talking to us. And thank you for being here. You're amazing.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And thank you, Anthony. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
You know, good luck. Hang in there, sir.
Poor Anthony stuck with me. And we can find you at where's the best place? So DannyWeinkoff.com?
DannyWeinkoff.com, yeah. And then on Spotify or YouTube or any place, just Danny Weinkoff. Weinkauf.